Texas. Ooh. Ain't no hold 'em. Hey. So lay your cards down, 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 down. So park your Lexus. Ooh. And throw your keys up. Hey. Stick around, round, 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 round. Stick around.
Now back to Cofield and Company.
So dance with you. Come pour some sugar on me, honey, too. It's a real live boogie and a real live hold down. Don't be a bitch, come take it to the floor now. Woo!
Woo! That's all I wanted to do. Well, we got to talk Texas, right? Sure. You're right about Texas right now.
Sure.
If you want to go on the road for UNLV football, basketball, other sports, you're going to be in Texas a little more now. Looks like it.
Definitely.
Woo! Woo! Adam Hill, Steve Cofield. And for the listeners in the north, we're on in Reno right now. It's brought to you by Battleborn Injury Lawyers. This hour is always brought to you by Justin and Company, Justin Watkins, 766-1400 is the number. Dial 775 in the north. That is the call from anywhere in the state of Nevada number. Those of you in northern Nevada will also be trying to find flights to Texas. I think quite often. This is very interesting. Let's get to the Big Four.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents the Big Four at Four. Number four.
These are crazy times. So we started covering this conference chaos, you know, really about 2 weeks ago when the disloyal five decided to leave. Actually, it was four at first, and then Utah State, can't trust those folks in Logan, in spite of what they tell you. They decided to go to the Pac-12 with Wazoo and Oregon State. And now there's this zone of you've splintered just about in half the Mountain West Conference, but now both conferences are sitting short the number of schools they need in terms of full-time football members. And so there's been some moving and shaking. On the football side, Mountain West Conference has some quicker answers than the Pac-12, which will explain, I think, what's happening in the Pac-12. But there are also schools kind of from out of nowhere. Like, this thing with Sacramento State is really interesting. Now, I think it's funny that, because I don't know which conference is going to look better. I guess, well, for basketball, it might be the Pac-12. But Sac State is an FCS school that wants to go bigger, but wants to join the Pac-12, which I don't think it has a chance, but they have a lot of community support and they are raising money. And I guess they had, who's donating all this money? Can we find out? They raised $35 million in NIL funds.
A lot of money.
In the last 24 hours, the goal is $50 million. The money, quote, demonstrates the civic business commitment of all of those in the greater Sacramento region. So Sac State wants to move up and get in the Pac-12.
Yeah, and again, I don't know that it's going to happen. I mean, the Pac-12 has already kind of, you know, turned their noses up at a couple other places, including like Hawaii, who was almost begging to leave the Mountain West to go to the Pac-12. Hey, what about us? Make us a part of it. We're good. I know that there's some schools that left the Mountain West that are aiming a lot bigger than a school like Sacramento State. But at some point, they need somebody. They did add Gonzaga. Gonzaga doesn't have football. So they've got eight members, but only seven for football. The Mountain West has seven members, but eight for football. Kind of the opposite sides of the spectrum there. But they both need to add teams. They're both kind of competing for some of the same teams. And this is how it's going to be. Teams are looking at that and saying, all right, you need somebody. We want to go. How about us?
Number three.
So we'd heard about UTEP last week, and then it heated up last night with ESPN college dude saying that discussions were happening with UTEP, and then it's official today. They had a press conference earlier this afternoon. We grabbed one of the El Paso radio guys. You'll hear that conversation come up here in about 15 minutes. So UTEP is in. There's a lot of familiarity with UTEP. This was a school that UNLV and others in the Mountain West Conference have been around in the past when the WAC and the Mountain West, they had all their splits and mergers and all that some 26 years ago now. UTEP was definitely a player back then. Mostly been a good basketball school. Football, it hasn't been great. The market of El Paso and Las Cruces is, I think, 91st TV market.
Top 100.
I don't know a lot about UTEP. And like I said, we grabbed an interview with Adrian Brodus. It was more of a fact-finding mission. I liked El Paso when I went there. Like, it feels like a Mountain West Conference city. I like the food. That's a positive. I liked it more than I like Logan, so good riddance. El Paso's in.
It's the big city that my dad lives near and as a Las Cruces resident.
I really want to go to Juarez at some point.
It's worth
Everyone keeps telling me not to go, but, you know, I'm very brave. I'm very brave. But, yeah, UTEP's in. Do you like this?
Yeah, I think it's a solid choice. I mean, it gets them into the Texas market. Not the biggest region in Texas, but back into Texas, which if you're also adding potentially Texas State, now you have a couple of teams back there.
The Mountain West has been successful in adding at least one of the 38 Division I schools that play football. I mean, in Texas, there are so many schools that play Division I football in Texas. And it seems like all the guys who've been on the outside looking in, trying to work their way up, they all have money. Now, I don't know. I think that is an issue with UTEP. I'm assuming, you know, part of moving up is to start generating money. And the other thing is, have you looked up what Conference USA looked like recently?
This is a hodgepodge.
I mean, outside of them and New Mexico State, UTEP is completely out of place.
Yeah.
FIU, Liberty, just weird mix.
Yeah, it's weird. It's much more, makes much more geographic sense to go to the Mountain West. I don't think there's any question. So, look, it's a good addition for the Mountain West. It's good for UTEP. Good move all around.
Number two.
Now, Texas State, technically, you would say, I don't know. I didn't even look at the rankings where the Sun Belt is. I think right now, Sun Belt football wise is probably a better conference. Conference USA, I think, has more of a traditional and bigger name. Texas State's intriguing because it clearly has a budget for football because they've been involved in NIL battles to get some high profile players.
Yeah.
I think their stadium's pretty cool. It clearly is expandable. I don't know that in the Mountain West Conference you need any more than 28,000 seats. That's about what it has. It actually is a massive school. The undergrad enrollment's, I think, 41,000.
Yeah.
In San Marcos, Texas.
San Marcos, Texas, which is the halfway point between San Antonio and Austin.
Okay. I noticed it was about a 45-minute ride to Austin. I was actually at Ellis Island last night in the front yard for Monday Night Football. There were a lot of Texas people there. So I was asking them all about San Marcos.
Hey, what do you know about San Marcos?
They didn't know much.
It used to be called Texas State San Marcos.
Okay.
Then they just went to Texas State. It's not, as I heard some people say, the old Texas Pan American. That's a different place.
Okay.
Stadium looks nice.
And unlike UTEP, they're actually playing some pretty good football now.
They're investing.
They are investing.
For sure. And there's a ton of talent down there, a ton of players. It's really not, you know, we talked about UTEP being a top 100 media market. San Marcos isn't, but it is, like we said, halfway between those two big media markets.
Right.
So kind of get your foot back in the door there. There's a reason that the Pac-12 has been interested and that the Mountain West has definitely been interested in that school.
Do you think... Well, I'll get to that in a second. Next targets for the Mountain West Conference? Have we heard anything more about Northern Illinois and Toledo, which kind of came from out of nowhere?
That sounds like preliminary conversations, but that's pretty much where they're at. It makes sense for those that are wondering. It'd be football only, and the reason they're doing it is Toledo is technically Eastern time zone, Northern Illinois Central. You can go to your media rights partners and say, we have games in every time zone, Eastern, Central, Mountain, Pacific, Hawaii. So, you know, you could fill a lot of different time slots by putting games at a lot of different places with our conference.
Number one.
Now on to the Pac-12. One of my favorite follows is a person who's under the handle OS, I think, _Beaver, and kind of one of those content creators who's always claiming they're an insider and don't always get things right. A lot of it's pie in the sky. This person is still putting up a big new Pac-12 map that includes those AAC teams that they made a run at last week and were told no.
Yeah.
I still think that's the plan.
Yeah, so do I. I don't think they're...
How do you think they're going to do it?
They haven't given up.
They were told no by South Florida, Memphis, Tulane, and UTSA.
Well, I'd imagine part of it is hoping that they win a lawsuit to get some of that money preserved and then use that to buy them.
Yeah, you do. The lawsuit, the money that is guaranteed that's not in the lawsuit is the exit fee stuff.
Right.
So it's the penalties that they want to get out of.
Right.
So,
but they have to have money earmarked potentially to pay those penalties, and if they don't have to pay them... Hey, now all of a sudden we have some extra money, throw it at those schools to get them in.
Would they spend $25 million per school? $20 million per school? Would they spend $80 million to get four new schools?
At some point you have to.
Because it seemed like the Memphis AD, when he talked last week, wasn't entirely shutting it down, but was like, make a better offer. Because I saw some, we have to get Gary Parrish on. He's very busy, you know, mostly a college basketball guy, but he's also, he went on his own. He's doing his own thing radio-wise, but he was a pretty big radio star for a long time in Memphis. And he sounded really frustrated that Memphis was going to stick with the AAC.
I get it, but people think about football and basketball. Like, they don't think about everything else. And I think that's what the athletic department was kind of saying. The AD in particular was saying, look, we talked to them. The offer wasn't great, and we're not going to be able to take it at this time because, yeah, football and basketball will work out. We'll probably make some money. It'll be pretty decent. But that's at the expense of spending all of that money to send our volleyball and track teams
right.
and everyone else to all these crazy road trips every year.
How do you get from Memphis? I don't know the name
of Oregon State. I don't know how to get from here to Oregon State. Like, I've been looking at flights. It sucks.
Right? Tampa? Yeah. Tampa to Pullman and Corvallis.
It's ridiculous.
Gonzaga is being added.
They are.
To the Pac-12. Basketball
they're,
only.
They're adding football. No, they're not.
So that's a pretty good basketball conference. Gonzaga with San Diego State, Colorado State, Utah State, and Fresno State, and Boise State, along with Wazoo and Oregon State.
And it's kind of what we talked about last week with the decision that that UNLV was making. You know, do you go to the Pac-12 or do you stay in the Mountain West? And for football, it's better, but not dramatically better in the Pac-12. Basketball is where it was going to make a huge difference. Basketball, they're going to be really, really good.
AD at Wyoming, Tom Berman, said this about San Diego State, Boise State, Colorado State, and Fresno State. It was clear for years that these four schools that went first, three for sure, have been wanting to go and partner with whoever they can to create their own league and a goal of hopefully becoming a Power 5 league, which isn't going to happen. It's Power 4, and it'll stay that way.
Okay.
But he's not wrong on at least two, if not three of them, constantly seeking out another conference.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, that's perfectly fair. And there's really, I mean, UNLV kind of was too. A lot of schools have been seeking out. You have to. If you're not trying to progress, if you're not trying to move forward, your program is dying. I mean, I think that's pretty much the case. At least to say that about fish. If it's not swimming upstream, it's just dying. If you're not trying to move forward, you're just going to rot away and be taken advantage of, like a lot of conferences did. We'll wait and see where this shakes out. Well, no, you don't exist.
Well, that's why I like what Mountain West Conference is doing now, because it's completely non-traditional. You know, nothing against the previous commissioner, but I know you're not a big fan of Gloria Navarro's. At least they're, like, making moves, and, hey, we targeted these schools. Let's go get them. Let's not wait around to see what the cutting room floor has.
Well, and you're targeting schools that the Pac-12 probably would have targeted. Like, UTEP probably would have been on the radar. I don't think that's their number one choice.
No.
But they probably would have been on the radar. Texas State could potentially be on the radar because of the investments they're making and the fact that they're moving up and, you know, the enrollment and everything else. Could have been on the radar. So you're saying before they go there, let's get them locked up. And that's what they're doing.
Remember, no Barry Odom radio show this week. Normally it's housed at Parkway Tavern 215 and Flamingo. But it is a great place to watch all the games, all the football games. $5 shots and drafts, $6 cocktails, pitcher and bucket specials for the games as well. Parkway Tavern, all the Parkway Taverns. And remember, our buddies over at Naked City Pizza are now in the Parkway Tavern at Decatur and Flamingo.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Griffin's on top of it, Cofield and Company. All right, let's find out more about UTEP. Going to be the newest member in a couple of years, maybe sooner, of the Mountain West Conference. Adrian Broaddus does radio in El Paso on 600 ESPN, and I talked to him just a little while ago and said, hey, what's the feeling around this jump to the Mountain West Conference?
It's just a big sigh of relief. I mean, UTEP fans have been begging to get out of Conference USA, which has been really the doormat of all of college athletics for so long. And I just, you know, for all these fans right there, they're rejoicing that they are finally out of this dreadful Conference USA and into a league where they feel like they've got more association. I mean, UTEP has been conference mates with a lot of these teams in the past. And I feel like, you know, with all that and coupled in with the fact that you get a chance to play New Mexico and you get a chance to see some of these schools that the fans will recognize, that's the biggest plus for all this right here today for UTEP.
What do you think the positives are of the Mountain West Conference in both football and in men's basketball?
Well, the first thing right off the bat is this is a basketball town. This UTEP is known for everything they do in basketball. 17 NCAA appearances, of course, the 1966 National Championship, where they started five black players in a single game and made history and changed the game in college basketball as we know it. So basketball side of things, you get out of a one-bid league, a guaranteed one-bid league out of Conference USA, and you go into a league in the Mountain West where maybe you get two, three, four teams in on a good year. So that's the immediate thing that I see right off the bat for basketball and the advantages. On the football side of things, it's going to be interesting. You know, Jim Center today talked about how the football program still wants to recruit the state of Texas. Well, it's going to be interesting if no other schools come out of the state of Texas, or even if, you know, you're talking Texas State and stuff like that. Well, you can recruit against some of those guys that the Bobcats would go after, or you could recruit against some of the other schools again in the state of Texas. So I think the advantages are still there, even though UTEP is getting away from all the Texas associations. But I'll tell you this, I mean, SMU left UTEP in the dust, and they didn't look back at all. Houston did the exact same thing. And then it started to become the lower tier kind of team, so to speak. You know, North Texas's of the world, the Rice teams of the world, and even a team like UTSA, which has been financially committed to actually growing their program a lot more than, you know, UTEP had in the past. So this tells me that UTEP is taking the right step in the right direction in committing more than just, you know, winning or the possibilities of winning here in the future. And then the obvious one is travel and the time zone thing. There's no reason why UTEP should be traveling to Lynchburg, Virginia. There's no reason why UTEP should be playing a team in Conference USA out at Florida International in Miami. Like, there's no reason UTEP should be playing East Coast games, Eastern time zone games. It just kills, you know, things like the college life, the student life and stuff like that. There's zero association with those schools when they come to El Paso. And I feel like for the fan base, now they get a chance to renew some of the old rivalries they've had in the past and also have some association with time zones they actually know.
We're talking UTEP to the Mountain West Conference. Adrian Broaddus does local radio in El Paso on 600 ESPN. Where is the football program right now? I know they have a new coach. They're off to an 0-4 start. They haven't been terrible in the games. They played Colorado State pretty decently. Didn't get crushed by Liberty. Their coach is young.
Right. And Scotty Walden's hoping that he could turn this program around. But, you know, this is a program that I've known very well. And the program that has been a historically bad football program. I mean, this school does not do a lot of winning on the football side of things. This young coach, 34 years old, second youngest in Division I FBS. He's trying to change that. He's trying to instill some life into this program and also, you know, help out when it comes to things like recruiting, help out when it comes to things like energy around the program. And I feel like, you know, things have gotten off to a rocky start. You kind of pay the tax for hyping up, you know, everything around this team. And that's what happened. This team had a lot of hype going into the season. They're 0-4 to start. The fan base is completely out. You tell the fan base right now, would you rather go 0-12 or and join the Mountain West or maybe win a couple games here in Conference USA, but know that you're sticking in this conference? I think a lot of fans would just take the win today, knowing that UTEP's headed to the Mountain West and knowing that, you know, better days are probably coming up.
UTEP is going to be in the Mountain West Conference, so a big announcement today as they were invited in the last couple of days. You mentioned the fans. If they win, I mean, do they come back in a year or two? Does it take a while? I'll tell you, UNLV football, it's taking a while for fans to come back and, you know, try to fill Allegiant Stadium, even in excess of 30,000. I got to say that the Sun Bowl, you know, I'm the sideline reporter for UNLV, so I was down there last year for the UNLV-UTEP game. What an amazing facility. And I know they're doing some renovations and fixing it up and some additions to the stadium.
Yeah, the biggest thing to me is UTEP was able to sell out, well, almost sell out their game against an FCS opponent in their home opener this year, and they lost. So it's like the fans are there. The fans are going to come, you know, and it doesn't even have to be winning. The fans are have proven time and time again that they're willing to show up for a product that people can get behind and get excited about. There's a lot of city pride here in El Paso. There's really, you know, there's a lot of attention. And you talk about a binational community. Well, just across the border, we're talking about 1 million-plus people in Juarez who love to support the Miners and love to support UTEP Athletics. And you're talking about a city that has a population right around 700,000. So, I mean, this whole area, when you factor all that in, you're talking about a million plus people in this market right here who can deeply root for or care about a program like UTEP. There's no pro team in this area. I mean, Dallas, it's closer. It's probably closer to me for me to drive in my car to go to Las Vegas and hang out with you in the studio than it is for me to go out to Houston, Texas and go watch a Texans game or something like that. And that's just the reality. I mean, El Paso does not have that pro association. This is their pro team right here in UTEP football. Now, as far as, you know, what's ahead for the future and what they need to commit to for facilities, they need a new locker room. No one needs to see the dungeon that is in the Sun Bowl tunnel side of things. And they need those new locker rooms desperately, whether it's the visitors or their home. They need to, revamp those desperately. And so that would probably be at the forefront right there, along with, hey, you got to hang some banners and start winning some games.
It's Cofield and Company here on a Tuesday. We're on in Vegas, and we're also on this hour in Reno and Nevada, of course, another member of the Mountain West Conference. I'll tell you, for Nevadans, for road trips, I thought El Paso was pretty cool. I love the food. I hit, King's X and Lucy's. I hit some place right near the hotel. It was like El Taquito. I also hit a barbecue place called Desert Oak. So we're very into food on our show. We actually, with the UNLV broadcast crew, we do a broadcaster bite show. So I'm excited El Paso's in for that reason. It's a good food town.
Hey, next time you're back with us, Desert Oak's a great sponsor of our show. We'll treat you right. We'll make sure that we're all feasting before we watch a little football action or some basketball action.
So let's talk more about what the future could hold, because I look around Texas, and while UTEP, like you said, has struggled in football, we've seen UTSA, North Texas to a certain extent. Damn, Sam Houston State, who UTEP's playing this week. Texas State might be going to the Mountain West Conference. What have all those programs done right that UTEP hasn't?
Yeah, it's great. It's a great question, because UTEP fans will point out all these things, and then they'll point out the fact that 45 minutes up the street, one of the most historically awful programs that UTEP is coincidentally rivals with, New Mexico State, has somehow managed to win two bowl games in the last 7 years under two different head coaches. So they've had their lumps. New Mexico State has zero budget, just kind of like UTEP does, but they were able to find some lightning in the bottle and able to win, at a high level. So fans are wondering, well, what does everybody else do that UTEP doesn't do? And I think maybe what one of the things is investment in your facilities, investment in your resources and stuff like that, and financially commit. You look at UTSA and what they were able to do with their head coach and Jeff Traylor. They're able to have, a lot of success because they were able to commit to him financially and also commit to an NIL that has been established over there. And, for UTEP, I feel like they're always kind of behind the ball when it comes to things like this. They barely launched an NIL collective for football this past spring under new head coach Scotty Walden. I mean, we're talking what, 2-3 years down the line in NIL world. This is late to the party. Even though basketball hasn't established NIL, it's still not the highest among Conference USA, or not even close to that from what rumors or reports are out there. So I feel like being competitive in those landscapes, wherever college athletics is changing, UTEP's got to adapt. And instead of just being last to the party, be first to the party in these kind of categories.
You mentioned New Mexico State, and I don't think a lot of people know this, but that I-10 series is historic. It's 109 years plus. Is there a push from some UTEP fans to say, hey, you know what, Mountain West, you should bring New Mexico State along as well?
This is a great question. I'm going to say yes and no. And I'm going to say no from my perspective. Yes, from the fan perspective. The fans have loved it so far. Two teams in the same conference, two rivals who've just done, great battles and have fought to the bitter end in both men's basketball, football, all the other sports out there. It makes so much sense. It's only a 45-minute trip from El Paso to Las Cruces. Everything makes sense about it. Where I stand is I love the fact that you get to play them in non-conference. It locks you in for one of the toughest things at the mid-major or group of five level is that, schedule making. Schedule making is tough to do. For football, you talk about schools being locked in from now until maybe 2030, 2033, whatever it looks like. UTEP's got those things under wraps. However, I'll tell you this. UTEP may have known something was going on behind the scenes, because over the next 5-6 years, they've scheduled a lot of home and homes with these Mountain West teams. I'm talking about Wyoming. I'm talking about San Jose State. They already have a home and home series locked in with Texas State. So what happens to that open week? Well, you could schedule the Battle of I-10. You can have New Mexico State come to town, or you go over, drive 45 minutes away, and you don't have to compromise on this rivalry. No, it's not any Texas versus Texas A&M drama where you're having a couple-year hiatus and you're not getting a chance to play each other.
There he is, Adrian Brodus, expert out of El Paso. UTEP is going to be in the Mountain West Conference. We'll follow up on this. By the way, halfway point of the show, special food day today. Adam Hill's all over this one.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Griffin's here, Cofield, Adam Hill. National Taco Day? On what already is Taco Tuesday? Who puts these calendars together? You want to double up on the attention. You don't do it on a Taco Tuesday. That's why 4th of July is sort of an unofficial National Hot Dog Day. Big Hot Dog also made sure that they've got a National Hot Dog Day.
I mean, I feel like we talked about self-inflicted wounds at the beginning of the show with Antonio Pierce and some things that have happened.
Yes.
Self-inflicted wounds from Big Taco?
Yeah. They're not thinking this through. Robert Sala, Antonio Pierce, and Big Taco.
All doing it themselves.
Not a great day. Yes, yeah. All doing it to themselves.
By the way, I know we're talking about tacos, but going back to the Robert Sala thing, I know you're going to get infuriated by this.
Probably not.
But Aaron Rodgers today, of course, did McAfee. I was listening to something about a certain Raiders wide receiver, so I had to listen to the entire hour of the interview to try to pick up what was saying. Aaron Rodgers made a joke about maybe the cadence would be better if he would have attended OTAs.
Okay.
If you remember, he missed OTAs to go to Greece. Or
so whatever. He made the joke, mocking on the fact that became a big story.
Oh, maybe those were the days I missed of OTAs when we were working on cadence. Maybe they were. Or maybe that's what you should have done those days.
Griffin, did you send me a story last week? We never got to it with, was it Nick Wright who was flipping out about player podcast?
Yeah, basically he was just saying these players are giving their opponents advantages by going on podcasts or having their own podcasts.
Well, that came from the CJ Stroud thing too, though.
What was that?
CJ Stroud was caught on a mic on the field. He went up to, I think it was Jalen Johnson on the Bears. And he was like, I heard what you said about how you're going to defend me on your podcast. Really helped.
Yep. Listen, I'm not going to pat myself on the back, but I'm going to pat myself on the back. I often said before this really exploded with either team-driven media or players going out and doing it themselves, that guys like Adam Hill, when they're in the locker room, you guys do serve, and at times I do serve, as a filter. Like when someone says something and you follow up on it, a lot of times you're like, are you sure that's what you wanted to say? There's no filter now. There's no safeguard.
Yeah.
So Aaron Rodgers has free reign to go and be a smartass on McAfee, and you know McAfee's going to freaking fan that flame.
Maybe that was the day we were supposed to do it, to work on this. Yeah, it might have been.
Yeah.
Might have been.
I'm not going to get infuriated because I recognize that Robert Sala is a guy who makes a lot of mistakes.
Sure.
But why throw gas in his face and light him on fire over and over again during the week? Just let it go. Shut up.
Sala and Roger should just go have a taco together.
Way to get back.
Today
to
would
the,
probably be a good
way
day.
To get back to the
It'd
topic.
Be a good day to do it.
Yes. Yes. Are you going to get tacos today?
I'm not. Actually.
Why not? Just eat the meat. You don't have to have the shell.
Well,
whatever you're trying to do to stay in shape, I don't know what's going on.
I'm going somewhere that might not be on the menu. So,
why would you do that on National Taco Day if they don't have tacos? You have to have tacos today.
It wasn't my plan. It wasn't my decision of where everybody's going.
So. Ah, okay.
It happens.
We're going to tape Broadcaster Bites tonight. You heard I mentioned that to Adrian Broadus, Caleb and I. You don't have your broadcaster bites?
I mentioned the I noticed the plug in the middle of the interview. It was good.
Plug for?
Broadcaster bites.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, that was just – no, I really did have an interest in shouting out some restaurants down there. I had no idea that his show actually is backed by Desert Oak. I don't want to tell him. I was like, didn't like the service. But I'll get better service next time I go, who knows. Who knows what the future holds, right? I actually will on this broadcaster rights have a review of a local taco place.
Wow.
We are. Well, because.
Tonight? You're going tonight?
Yeah, it'll be out tomorrow morning. But I don't know, man. Some of the taco places, I know all food price is going up, but if your taco's like $3.50, $4, $5 a piece, like, give me something. Like the new that's like, oh, here's a street taco. There's nothing there. Yeah, on the street, they're $1.
It's Cofield and Company's Eye on Sports Gambling, presented by Oasis Bar and Grill. Only on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Adam Hill is here, working hard on the conference chaos, getting the story done. It's just, these stories don't stop. Gonzaga to the Pac-12 for basketball only. Okay, that's pretty interesting. Let's bring in Sammy P. from BetQL. Sam, how you doing, buddy?
Doing well. I'm actually sending my old man to town next week, and he's going to go to Oasis, I think, on Sunday to watch some NFL. He's pumped.
I like it. I like it. I would tell him what to get, but they've got a lot of menu items. Although, you know what? Do mention us, and he'll get a free dessert. He gets a cheesecake.
He'll be too full by then. He gets the meatloaf. He's a big meatloaf guy there. He says the meatloaf there is out of control.
I want to get your take on the Gonzaga switch to the Pac-12. I saw you make a comment. Was this McMurphy who reported it about 3 weeks ago and a lot of people came down on him?
Oh, he got crushed on the internet, and people were telling him that it wasn't true and he was full of it. And then somebody came out and said that Gonzaga athletic director Chris Standiford said that Brett McMurphy's report is not accurate reporting. And about a week later, they leave for the Pac-12. So Brett had a field day on social today. I don't know if you looked at his X feed. He's had a pretty good day. It's been a nice victory lap for McMurphy.
Boy, he had a great week last week, too, when he had the exclusive on Derek Stevens offering $100,000. Did you see that one? That was great by Brett.
I did not see that
one.
Oh,
you didn't see that?
There?
Derek Stevens and Mike Palm said, hey, you know, the whole quarterback situation, a $100,000 claim that they'd, you know, they were going to get and all that. That Derek would give the money to UNLV to take care of it. I'm also saying that tongue-in-cheek because Adam Hill wrote it first 15 hours before Brett, and then Brett got all the shine. So, thanks,
who's
Brett.
Adam Hill?
Exactly.
Who's Adam Hill?
Never heard
exactly.
Of him.
Exactly. Oh. NFL writer. Mm. NFL writer. Sorry. We're not all national.
Is that the guy that works 95 hours a week, Adam Hill? I've heard of that guy.
Yes. Also, to be fair, and I kind of support Brett in this too, but technically, what he said was that they had accepted it last week. Gonzaga said, we're talking, but we haven't accepted it yet. And I think
the Gonzaga thing, I don't have a big problem with that. Nicole Auerbach did. But.
I think they were still trying to get a better deal, and they were upset that he had reported they had already accepted it.
Oh, okay.
And now they have accepted it. So I think everybody has the wiggle room of semantics in this case.
Let's all get along, right? Let's all get along. I want to look at the MLB play. First of all, what was going on today with betting on Atlanta?
Well, nobody's betting Atlanta because this opened. Our morning show starts at 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern, so 6 o'clock Vegas time. And I do crosstalk with the show before us on Tuesday and Thursday. And both of the hosts at 9 a.m. Eastern were saying, you got to bet the Padres. Got to bet the Padres. The Braves played two games yesterday. The Braves were drinking champagne and beer, flying across the country. And I thought, yeah, okay, I get it. I understand. You fast forward almost 11 hours later, and I have not seen one person on the Braves today. It's crazy that this opened minus 140, and I'm looking at Circa right now. It's minus 182. If you look at Caesars, it's minus 190. Offshore, minus 195. It has moved 55 cents today. And yes, I'm aware the Braves played twice yesterday, and the Braves are starting some guy I've never heard of. But people are betting the Padres like they have tomorrow's newspaper, and that is not usually a good sign, especially If you're betting it right now at minus 182 or minus 185,
right,
when you could have laid minus 140, minus 150, you can't be late to the party on the most public side of the day. You just can't. That would be like betting an NFL favorite at -5.5 when you could have laid -3. It might win, but it's not a good bet given the current price and where the price was.
For the World Series, are we going chalky with the favorites, or are we going to find value down the list?
No, I want to get weird in the World Series. I'd love to see, for baseball, I'd love to see the Yankees face the Dodgers. Some people don't want to hear that. But if you could put my Royals in, I'm a little biased there. I've got some Royals pennant stuff. How about a Royals and Padres World Series? What can I get there? That's probably around 40-1 in Vegas right now. So if I can get that exact box, a Kansas City, San Diego World Series, the networks would hate it.
Yes.
But, despise it. I think it would be great given the fact that, you know, the Yankees are such prohibitive favorites and the Dodgers are prohibitive favorites. You know, I think baseball would never admit this, but baseball would love to have those two franchises in the Fall Classic. It would be the 12th time, I think, 11th or 12th time that they would meet in the World Series. But from a gambling standpoint, I like that 40 or 50-1 on Padres Royals, guys.
Yeah, it's the constant conundrum with baseball where the fans say they want the mid-level teams to meet in the World Series and for the evil empires not to play, and then when the mid-level teams play in the World Series, they don't watch. Like, if you want it, you got to watch. There's no ratings when you get Rangers Diamondbacks.
Great game today, though, Kansas City-Baltimore. I watched that whole thing. I actually did bet some Kansas City at plus 135, so I keep buying more Kansas City. Even though I have them to win the pennant and go to the World Series, I bet them again today. 1-0 final. And you look at the first game, Detroit and Houston, 3-1 final. This is that time of the season, guys. Weather gets colder. Elite pitching. These bullpens are all pretty good. This isn't like facing the Rockies or the White Sox or the Athletics. These bullpens can actually deal and get guys out. And every year around this time, I will get texts from my friends that don't bet baseball that much, but they got to bet it in the postseason. And they'll text me, well, this total's way too low. I'm going over 6.5, and it's 1-0. I'm going over 7, 3-1. And they get so perplexed because the total is so low, they could never bet the under. But really, this is the time when the unders hit because you have elite rotations. You have elite bullpens. Hitters are tight. Situations are tight. Defenses are good. You don't have bad teams at the playoffs, guys. And pitching and defense, more times than not, gets a team to a World Series. Now, you can always have that team like the 2021 Braves who slugged their way to a World Series and just hit home runs every game, multiple home runs. But when these totals are 6.5, 7, they're that low for a reason in the playoffs.
Offshore Padres Royals matchup, 68-1. So you might actually be able to get better than
40-1. Yep. Give me that. Give me that, buddy.
Bama beats Georgia. It wasn't easy in the end. What does that mean to you after watching that game?
So this might sound crazy, but I didn't really upgrade or downgrade either team. Mm-hmm. I think you could see the dominant offense from Alabama in the first half. Obviously, they go up 28-0. But then you have to also give Georgia credit for roaring back and making a 33-15 game a 34-33 game. Not many teams, Steve and Adam, are going to come back down 28-0 on Alabama. And it's a game where I think if they played 10 times, Bama maybe wins 6 out of 10 at home. Georgia maybe wins 6 out of 10 if the game was in Athens. And that game on a neutral is probably split 5-5 in terms of what I would expect. You play that game 100 times on a neutral, it's probably close to 50-50. Not right down the middle, but 52-48, 55-45, whatever. And think about this. In my ratings, and I compare my ratings with three other guys and kind of move my numbers around, the gap that I have right now between the top team and the number 6 team is only 4.5 points. So right now I still have Georgia number 1 at 131, and I've got Tennessee at number 6 at 126.5. So Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Texas, Ole Miss, Tennessee, all separated by less than 5 points. That is how strong the league is right now in the SEC, and that is how good Ohio State is. You notice I rattled off five SEC teams in Ohio State. That is how loaded the SEC is right now. They are all right around a field goal apart from each other.
What is going on in the Heisman market right now?
There's going to be a push, guys, I'm telling you, on Travis Hunter. I don't know if it's going to happen this week because Colorado has a week off. Obviously, you understand that Milroe's the favorite because he just won the game of the year so far. And I actually did talk about this on Bear Bets with Felica. Whoever you like in that game, Bama or Georgia, just bet the quarterback. And Milroe went from 8-1 to just shy of 2-1. But if Colorado can win eight games, they don't play again until October 12th. They got the bye here. But you talk about a kid that's playing 90 to 100 snaps a game, already has maybe two wins under his belt, the forced fumble against Baylor, and the way that he played against UCF with the touchdown and the interception. He is the most versatile player in college football right now. And to do it on both sides of the ball for a team like Colorado that everybody hates, well, not everybody, but a lot of people hate, put it that way. I get it's tough to overcome a quarterback, and you got some good ones right now with Jalen Milroe and with Cam Ward at the U. The running back from Boise is awesome. Gene T, who's got like 800 yards on 80 carries or something like that. But I'm telling you, if Colorado can win eight games or nine games, Travis Hunter's got a really good shot to win this Heisman. And you can still find him at 7 or 8 to 1 to win the award. That hype will only build, guys, if Colorado keeps winning.
Sammy P is with us, BetQL. I saw a video with you and Roxy Roxborough from back at the Bet Bash. What's going on there?
So we did that back in August, mid-August. Yeah, nice turnaround, nerd. Took me about 6 weeks to get it up, but I wanted to make sure it was done right. So we did the 60-minute session with Roxy. I did a live chicken dinner at Bet Bash, and those that were there got to experience it live. And we finally got the video up yesterday. It's on YouTube. You can find it on my Twitter, on the Chicken Dinner Twitter. Me and him did about a half an hour one-on-one, and then I opened it up to the audience for 30 minutes of questions with Roxy, who's one of the best to ever do it. Odds maker, better, sports betting Hall of Famer. He was great. And how about the outfit? He went Patino on me. He went white suit, red tie, like Louisville Rick Pitino suit on me. I couldn't believe it.
Is there a story swirling around about a survivor and a chop?
Yeah, so this is a local league in Chicago, and I'll give you the skinny on it. There's only two people left in this contest back in Chicago, and the grand prize is $332,000. $332,000. The chop right now is $150 a pop, and they want to play for the remaining $32,000. But the stipulation for the proxy is no negotiations. So only one person can submit the chop offer, but the other person can't make a counter or negotiate. And the rumor is that the current chop, $150K, and then play for the remaining $32,500, the guy who got offered the chop thinks that his offer is more valuable. But because of the proxy, he cannot make a counter offer. He's got until 5 p.m. Eastern tomorrow to decide whether he wants to chop or roll the whole thing. And I would hate to be that guy right now.
Wow. Adam, anything? Philosophy? What do we do with this one? We'll let Adam think on that. In the last minute here, we were terrible. Circa Million. We went 0-5. So we really need some help on some winners. Real quick, about 20 seconds. One of my leans. Cardinals +7 against the Niners. Am I crazy?
You're not crazy. I'm going to bet against Jaden Daniels. I can get 3.5 with Cleveland. I will be all over that bet this weekend.
Sam, you are the man. We appreciate it.
Enjoy the Oasis, fellas. See you later.
SP Shoot up on Twitter coming up in about 10 minutes. Miles Simmons on the NFL.